This podcast is a Radio Mike original production. Head to radiomike.com.au to find out more.
Today on the show, I'm still in Europe, so we recorded this ages ago as well. Producer Pat's here again.
What the hell again?
And we're answering your questions on 20th Century Boy, the show that hates Garfield as much as Garfield hates Mondays. To 20th Century Boy. My name is Mike to the Future, and this is the inside of my mind. Ah, welcome to the show, Radio Mike, of course, and Mike to the Future for a few reasons. One, because I'm recording this in the past and you're listening to it in the present, but for me right now, recording Mike, that's the future.
Great Scott, Mikey!
Okay, Pat's also here.
Hello, Pat, I have some ideas sometimes.
Any outrageous, unsolicited interruptions like that, that'll be Pat.
Pat trademark, classic.
Welcome back. Thanks for last week as well, Pat. It's good to have you here for these.
Lot of fun. Good to be back.
The reason Pat is here for these as well is because the Pat and Mike show is available on Patreon. That's not running at the moment, but if you like, you know, some of the chats me and Pat have, or if you just like Pat, which is hard to do, but some people seem to. Yes, Pat?
No, that's it. I just wanted to say, whoa.
Patreon.com/RadioMike. Jump on. The Pat and Mike show usually comes out every Friday, so we'd love for you to sign up there. How are you, Pat? You well?
Yeah, not too bad, man. Where are you at this point of time?
So at the moment, and you would have heard on, again, past me hasn't done this, but current me has. It's hard with the recording in advance to know whether I'm... Anyway.
You have to be a fucking time traveler or something.
Because I am doing the TCB World Tour every Friday, and you would have heard updates of my first week in Europe, which I'm sure would have been very, very fun.
Very riveting.
It could have been really bad. I don't know. Currently, I believe it's September 21st on the day this comes out, and I am either currently on a plane from Mallorca to Paris.
Ooh.
Or I have landed in Paris.
City of love. Do you feel the love, Michael?
I don't know, because I'm not there yet. But see, this is where it gets hard, because are you asking present me or future me?
Do you think future you will feel the love?
I think so, yeah. I'm really excited for Paris.
It should be good. Disneyland?
Yeah, Disneyland. That's at the end of our trip to Paris. But yeah, you will hear more about Paris on tomorrow, if you're listening as these come out for the TCB World Tour. But yeah, of course, as you know, yeah, we're bulk recording 4 episodes. This is the second of those 4 because I'm currently overseas having a holiday.
Way to rub it in.
Yeah, sorry, guys. It's pretty fun. I'm having a really, really good time over there. Bit of an interesting episode for reasons you will see. But Pat, would you want to kick us off with a listener question that we've put together? Thank you.
Well, I don't want to, but I'm being helpful today, so I actually will.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this first topic comes in from Radio Tana. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Welcome, Radio Tana.
Welcome to the radio family.
Tana says, which social media platform will be the next to die? Last one was MySpace, MSN, and Skype are basically dead. Yep. Tumblr is dead. Will Meta be safe? Is anybody safe?
Ooh.
Well,
doom and gloom for social media.
Bum, bum, bum.
Really interesting. I have a few takes on that. First of all, I would argue that MySpace wasn't the last one. I'll come back to that though.
Bookmark.
Bit of a teaser. We call that a tease in the industry, guys.
Holy shit.
The funny thing about Skype, I actually think this is hilarious, because I remember being like a teenager and if you wanted to vid call, you would use Skype, right?
I thought you meant MySpace. I was going to be like, does MySpace have video calling?
Nah, Skype. And then there was essentially no other video calling method like online.
They dominated the market.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden COVID hits and Zoom just is there, ready to go, makes it really easy. You just copy a link. And then like, I have not heard of Skype since. Like, I don't even know if you can still use Skype.
It's so funny because Microsoft actually they bought Skype for some ridiculous amount of money and now it's worth nothing. Yeah, they bought it for, whoa, $8.5 billion. Yes.
$8.5 billion. It's so interesting because it kind of reminds me of taxis and Ubers. Like,
totally.
Taxis were just existing, chugging along, not innovating at all, not trying to improve their service or keep up with the times, right? And then suddenly Uber came, and at the time it was a much better solution, and everyone moved over to Uber. That's what Skype and Zoom kind of was. Like, Zoom was just there, and they were like, hey, we're here. And now it's COVID and everyone has to video call. Use Zoom. And then everyone was just using it and no one used Skype.
It kind of is giving that. Hey, Mike, quick question. So this is a little bit off topic, but still on social media. So when I was in primary school, they actually tried to introduce us to this social media called Super Clubs Plus.
I hate this.
Did you ever?
It is though, I hate it. Is it some kids' social media?
Yeah, some kids' safe thing. I've got a photo here.
Wow, Super Clubs Plus. Welcome to Super Clubs Plus, the safe place to make friends, be creative and learn. Boring. Everyone knows that social media is about following chicks and not learning.
Are you bloody into chicks?
You into chicks. Cool. Thanks for showing me that, man. I'm arguing that Facebook is essentially dead. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, it's mostly the older generations that seem to use it now.
I think Facebook is so inactive upon our generation. Like, I still have it. I don't know why. I've had it for over 10 years. I first got Facebook in 2009 when I was like 14. And it was like, it was the only social media back then.
Yeah, basically.
And it was like, I remember back then we were all like, oh, MySpace sucks now. Like, why would you use MySpace? Like, use Facebook. And now it's kind of like, why would you use Facebook? Just use Instagram.
Totally. Like I only use Facebook for Messenger and then like some meme groups, like some of the Simpsons shit posting groups and stuff.
I rarely even use Messenger now. Sometimes I open Messenger and I'm like, oh shit, someone messaged me here and I never got back to them because I just literally never check Messenger.
Just forgot.
For a while it was like, oh yeah, Messenger and events. But now like Facebook events are barely a thing, at least for me.
I do get them now and then. Like I had a housewarming a few months ago and that was a Gen Z party and that was on bloody Facebook.
Interesting. I think, look, Threads recently launched at time of recording. Don't know if Threads is going to last long term. Twitter has just rebranded to X, which I've already talked about being a really stupid thing. Don't think Twitter's going to die off. I think it's got a really big install base and it's really unique in what it allows you to do in like micro blogging or just tweeting whatever's coming through your mind.
Xing.
Xing, sorry. X-eating. it's Z-eating.
Z-eating.
Yeah. And then
$5 billion to Z-eat.
Instagram. I don't know if Instagram's dying off, to be honest. Like, I know your generation is more on TikTok and I just think, as my generation gets older, Instagram's going to become the uncool thing that kids don't want to be on because all their family and parents are on it. Maybe Instagram will die soon. I doubt TikTok's going to die anytime soon. And I don't know what the next level or next step for like video content on phones could be other than TikTok.
Like, yeah, it seems to be the future, but it's funny, right? Because it's like you look back into, you know, when YouTube was kind of rising around like the late 2000s, early 2010s, and you think, oh, this is literally the future. I can't imagine anywhere we can up ourselves. And then vertical video comes along and then it's like, well, are we going to get a replacement to that one day in like the next decade?
Yeah, but what would it be? Like hologram videos or something?
Literal eye feeds, like the iPhone for Futurama.
I mean, that's what the Vision Pro kind of is, like just having stuff. Yeah. I think Instagram could be the next one to die only because, like, I don't think it'll be soon, but I think it could be running out of steam. MSN Messenger was always going to die once Facebook got a chat function. Everyone stopped using MSN, but I used to use MSN a lot as a kid. That was like where you'd go after school and chat to people online, and it was fun.
A thing I never got to live. But I do remember the Chris Lilly commercials when he dressed as the MSN
butterfly.
Yeah, those were funny.
Yeah. What do you think? Do you think any are going to be the next to die?
I mean, it's funny, right? Because I think basically Facebook just ended up being the default, you know, older generation social media. I can totally see Instagram becoming that for our generations, like Gen Y, Gen Z. You know, I guess unless some new social media comes, because I guess TikTok is the go-to young social media, but you don't go to the post socially or message, at least for what I've witnessed.
It's more like a YouTube competitor. Like you, totally. Not many people, you don't post just a photo of you at the fucking zoo on TikTok. Yeah. But that being said, like the fact that both YouTube and Instagram have introduced TikTok style, whether it's shorts or reels, right?
YTS, YouTube
shorts. That shows me that they see TikTok as a threat and something they need to compete with. And the shorts I put up on YouTube do really well. Like YouTube is really pushing shorts now. And it's like, does that ever go away? Or does just every platform just become a vertical scroll? Remember when Instagram tried to do like TikTok format Instagrams where you just swipe up to see different photos for like 3 weeks and then they changed
it back
because no one used it anymore?
Yeah, true. I'm pretty sure I was lucky and never got that, but
right, I did, and I just stopped using Instagram. And I think like the thing about it is like people use. There are still people. I find it hard to see it this way because I use all of these as like a social tool for my creativity. But there are still people out there who just have private Instagrams with like 200 followers and they just share photos with their friends. And it's not about getting traction or getting views or getting likes or being a content creator. It's just like, oh, I took this photo in Paris. I'm just uploading it to Instagram and then a few of my friends will see it and be like, hey, looks like you're having fun, right? It's not actually about... So I guess there's still that install base. And I think Instagram has changed so much. Like it used to be such a personal thing where you just post photos of yourself and you have a private account. And it still is for some people. But for me, it's now just like, you know, a creative outlet. And I think some people don't want that. Like some people don't want Instagram to be full of reels and recommended posts. Like my feed on Instagram is so much recommended posts now from other people that I don't follow. Same. And I'm like, I don't follow you. And I just remember being at uni and it was just you'd upload a photo to Instagram, all your followers would see it because they were just your friends. But anyway, those are my kind of thoughts on that. Do you have anything to add on the social media thing?
Yep, social medias exist. nothing substantial. Substantial.
Cool. Do we have another question?
We do. Here's the second topic. Comes in from Radio Maple.
Ah, welcome to the radio family, Radio Maple.
Welcome, RM. The other RM.
The other RM.
Anyway. Maple says, I don't know if it's been covered yet, but what about an update on your band, Release the Sounds?
Great question. Okay. So Release the Sounds, for those who are unaware, yep, the CD is behind me. One of the 50 printed CDs signed by myself and Jack Post, the two members of the band. Release the Sounds was my band with Jack that I did in 2019,
I think.
And I guess the main update is there's no update, but I'll give a bit of history of the band generally. So Jack sort of came to me in 2018, 2019 and was like, hey, I want to do this like music thing that's like funny songs, but not like funny as in like they're explicitly funny, more like just wacky kind of concepts for songs. And I was like, yeah, that sounds fun. And so we actually got a producer, Yuri, who had like a full on studio, and he's made music for like a bunch of Aussie TV shows in comedy and stuff. And yeah, we started putting together some songs and we wrote them together. It must've been late 2018 cause I wrote one of the songs on a train in Tokyo and I was there in 2018. Had two singles, Attached to String and the Instagram song. It's still on Spotify. The Instagram song, which is the one I wrote, is still currently the most streamed song by the band, which is cool. But a few really cool songs. There was one called Pants Up. There was one called Ave Maria. There was Don't Put Me on Hold, Ghost in My Room. It's probably one more I'm forgetting, but there was only like 9 songs. And it all started because me and Jack did a cat dog cover, a cover of the cat dog theme.
I remember that.
And that kind of picked up from there. And again, that was back in the day where you just share something on Instagram and, you know,
totally. Can I quickly interject?
Yeah.
It was so funny because I remember I followed you as a fan back then. This was before we knew each other or even met.
Yeah.
And I remember you and Jack doing that and thinking, oh, I want to do the same. And I wanted to make a post of like, oh, guys, I just heard this beautiful song and cover Cat Dog as well.
Yeah.
Do you think if I would have covered it, I would have been the third member?
No. Because we didn't know you. That would have been funny though. And the Cat Dog cover actually got included on the album. It's on the CD.
Classic.
So what kind of happened from there was we finished the album. We made two music videos, which were directed by my friend from uni, Angus. And they're cool music videos. Like, I actually had a lot of fun making them. And Jack probably wasn't as big as he was, as he is now at the time as well.
True. Like,
part of me wonders if we did it now, how different we'd have to do it to get people to actually listen to it. Because, like, I think a decent amount of people listened and found the songs and enjoyed them. But I just wonder now, like, because we would post the music videos in full on Instagram, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, kind of going into what we were saying before, it was back in the day where you could only have a 1 minute video. So we just put 1 minute excerpts of it up. And now you'd have to make a TikTok version or a real version and stuff. And it's like,
yeah,
it'd just be so hard to break through. So, you know, we kind of achieved what we wanted from the band, which was like just a creative outlet to make something funny and wacky. We got a bit of hype around it. We sold a bunch of the CDs. We sold a bunch of t-shirts and merch and et cetera. And it was super fun. Had a great time doing the music videos. It was a really fun period. And we kind of tossed around, I think it was like late 2019 we launched it. And then we were coming into this time where we were like, all right, let's start rehearsing to do like some live shows, just some small live shows at some random bar. And we were doing rehearsals for that. And then COVID hit. And COVID kind of killed any momentum the band had. Not that we ever thought it was going to become this really big band, but it was just like, we did want to do live shows with it, but it just kind of died down. COVID happened. It was sort of all over for the band. And for a brief period, we were sort of working on demo songs and songs for the hypothetical second album. And there were a few that I came up with. I'm going to say some of the titles. So there was one, and I think I posted the demo for this on the Patreon once years ago. It was just called Sad Song. And the joke was like, every album has to have a sad song. Those were kind of the lyrics. I wrote, like, I was just coming up with random ideas and putting them on paper. There was one called My Summer Girl from Another World. And it was, the concept of the lyrics was like, a guy, it's like my summer girl, like sort of like a Weezer, like my summer girl, you know.
Yeah,
but
totally.
But the joke was that from another world, like he had fallen in love with an alien. Like she has like tentacles and they would start getting into that.
That's funny.
There was one called You're Too Good For Me. And it was about a guy who has a crush on a girl, but he's like, he thinks she's like too good for her, which wasn't even that funny. I was just like coming up with it. And I still remember all of these songs. And then one called I'm a Penguin, which I played on piano. I think I still have some of these demos. I'm a Penguin.
I'd love to hear this.
I'm a Penguin was, I think the joke was, and it was kind of like attached to string where it reveals it's a puppet. I think I'm a Penguin was a, well, the title kind of gives it away, but it's like, the lyrics are all about like being free at the snow, enjoying like the slopes. And then the chorus is like, I'm a penguin sliding my way down the slopes, like something like that. Like, so none of them really got past me just mucking around on my acoustic guitar. And as time went on, like Jack did that podcast, Jackie Road Studios, where he started doing original songs and stuff, which to me kind of was like the spiritual successor for him to release the sounds. And he was a lot of the songwriting power behind it. Like I was doing a lot of lyrics, but I couldn't really play guitar that well. I did a bit of the piano on the album. And at one point post COVID, Yuri, the producer, actually emailed us and was like, hey guys, just wondering, like, cause we had sort of forgotten about it by that point. It was done. It was a fun project, but it didn't like really take off. We didn't make any money from, I think when I put out I did an acoustic cover of Without Me by Eminem, and that's on Spotify. And when I logged into the account of the distribution that we used for Release the Sounds, there's actually like, I think there's like $500 that in royalties just from the plays. Somehow over like 4 years, we've made $500, I think, but it's just sitting in an account and it's like, well, there's no point even, like, we'll just leave it there and see what happens with it.
Yeah. Right.
But so that's sitting there, and Yuri emailed us post COVID and was like, hey guys, like, are we getting back into it? We getting the band back together, like going to make a new album. Are you doing live shows? Basically, I think being like, you guys going to make any money? Because, you know, like I helped produce your album and I haven't really gotten anything out of it. And Jack was kind of like, nah, I've got a baby now and I do radio all the time. I don't have time for it. And yeah, I was doing too much stuff as well. I would still love to do a sequel album. I always thought, because the first album is just called Release the Sounds.
Release the Other Sounds. That could be the second album.
No, I thought it would be Release the Sounds Again. That would be the name of the second album.
Bit biased. Mine's better.
Release More Sounds, maybe. But yeah, the most developed song from me, I don't know if Jack ever came up with any demos. The most developed one for me was a song called Mr. Grim Reaper. And it's a song, it was like, I'm not going to be able to replicate it exactly how I found it in my mind, but it's a song about a boy, someone knocks on his door, he opens the door, it's the Grim Reaper. He's saying, hey, it's like, it's your time to die. And he doesn't want to go with the Grim Reaper, obviously. That was the most developed song and a song I really wanted to do, and I was pushing Jack to record it, but it never really happened. But from there, I've decided as a little bonus for the podcast here to include a very rough demo. In no way is this final mixed or anything like that, but it's a very rough demo of how I sort of imagined Mr. Grim Reaper might sound if we made it. This is a very rough demo. Pat's heard a bit of it. What did you think?
Yeah. Like I said before, it sounds like a demo.
Yeah. So, if Release the Sounds did another album, this is, I'm going to play it for you now. This is sort of maybe a song. This is the song I wanted to lead with and do a music video for and everything like that. It's called Mr. Grim Reaper. Have a listen.
I heard a knock knock coming from my door, and I never would have thought that I saw what I saw. He was dressed in black with a scythe in his hand. He said, it's your time to go, come with me, young man. I said, you can't take me, I got so much to give. Oh, Mr. Grim Reaper, won't you let me live now? Don't kill me, Mr. Grim Reaper, I'm just a young boy, I'm just a young boy. You took my grandma's chair and you could keep her. I'm just a young boy, I'm just a young boy. He shrugged his shoulders and he rolled his eyes. I said, why take me when there's a thousand other guys? He said, I don't make the rules, I just show up on the day. I wish that I could tell you that there was another way. And he raised the scythe right up to my neck. Oh, Mr. Grim Reaper, come on, what the heck? Oh! Don't kill me, Mr. Grim Reaper, I'm just a young boy, I'm just a young boy. You took my grand last year and you can keep her. I'm just a young boy, I'm just a young boy. Don't kill me, Mr. Grim Reaper, I'm just a young boy, I'm just a young boy. You took my grandma's chair and you can keep us. I'm just a young boy, I'm just a young boy. Don't kill me, Mr. Grim Reaper, I'm just a young boy, I'm just a young boy. You took my grandma's chair and you can keep us. I'm just a young boy, I'm just a young boy.
So that's Mr. Grim Reaper. Let me know if you liked it. And if anyone is a musician that's listening that can actually like put down some of those parts properly or mix it or help me produce that song, I'd be happy to produce it and I'll just put it out as Radio Mike. Let me know. Pat, when I was moving, and I don't know, this might not even be funny at all, but when I was moving, of course there was plenty of like funny stuff from my mum and dad, as people might have heard on the podcast a few months ago.
Oh, Tony, you're obsessed with square, right?
Because my classic dad wanted a square table on the balcony.
Classic Tony moment.
And of course, mum at the Neil deGrasse Tyson concert. Oh, no, Dad, we're here for deGrasse. Hilarious.
But I want her confidence.
Over the entire period of when I was moving, I was hanging out with my dad a lot. And he just kept, it got really annoying, to be honest. He just kept being like, hey, you should talk about this I forgot about this. My dad he always just gets words wrong. Like it's just like, it's like he's not even trying, like he just gets words wrong. And he was like, oh, this is, I'm going to say it, okay? Oh, you, hey, you should talk about this on your iCast. Doesn't know the word pod. Or even, I think it was worse than iCast. It was like your iPod.
Dads. Last year my dad was trying to help me buy a TV and he said, oh yeah, I've been looking at some all these 5G TVs.
Well, TVs don't have 5G, do they? They just have Wi-Fi.
No, but he thought he meant like 4K.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, 4G TVs?
Yeah, 4G, yeah. So anyway, my dad kept singing a song that I've never heard and he kept bringing it up. He's like, do you know this song? And he kept saying, you should talk about it on your podcast. And so decided to do for this episode a segment called this.
My dad, he told me to talk about this.
Oh, Tony, you're obsessed with talking about stuff.
So this is stuff my dad told me to talk about while I was moving house. And
Tony talks.
I'm curious, like, if anyone knows this. So I'm just going to get up a little thing on my phone here. So basically, while we were moving literally all the time, my dad kept being like this, Pat. Do you know the song In the Year 2525?
What?
So do you know it?
I've never heard of it.
Okay, my dad's really funny. I'll tell you another thing. I don't know if I still have it because it might have gotten lost in the move, but I had like this squishy stress ball.
I remember that one.
Yeah, this blue stress ball. I was in the lift with my dad. We were moving stuff, like little chairs and stuff to put in the back of his car. And I was just squeezing the stress ball and I was just like looking at him and squeezing it. And then my dad just like grabbed it off me. He's like, let me do that. And he started squeezing
the... Oh, wow.
Like
Tony power moved you.
Like, you don't know how to do it. I'll let me do that. I'll look after it.
That's so funny.
Anyway, so my dad kept being like literally every few hours for a whole week, do you know the song In the Year 2525? Now, this is an excerpt from the song In the Year 2525.
In the year 2525, if man is still alive, if woman can survive, they may find.
I don't know why it sounds like The Legend of Zorro or something.
It sounds like a song your dad would recommend you.
Like a cowboy song or an old western. Okay. Now, the song is called In the Year 2525 and it's by Zager and Evans. In the Year 2525, Exordium and Terminus by Zager and Evans. And he kept being like, you should talk about it on your podcast. It'll be so relevant. Like, it's all about, like, the future and stuff. Like, you should talk about it. It'll be on your iCast, right?
20th century boy, 2525.
Yeah, 2525 boy. So I wanted to just go through the lyrics of the first maybe verse together and just, like, we're going to figure out or talk about whether it's even remotely relevant at all. So here we go. You ready?
Hit me.
In the year 2525, if man is still alive... If woman can survive, they may find in the year 3535, ain't gonna need to tell the truth, tell no lie. Everything you think, do, and say is in the pill you took today. Now that's actually interesting. Oh, you're looking at me blankly.
No, I thought you were trying to follow up with something.
So basically they're saying like you don't. Basically, in the year 3535, everything you think, do, and say is in a pill you took today. So basically they're saying by that point, like the world will be so advanced that you can take a pill and it will just be like that's your day in a pill. Like it just programs your day. What do you think of that?
See, my first thought is like we live in like a mass consumption age nowadays. It's like, you know, you scroll through your TikTok and you get everything immediately and you get that quick dopamine and it's like right. – Are we going to get to the point where it's like you can wake up in the morning, you don't even have to spend a second on social media or consuming news? Oh, and it's like, here's my pill.
It gets like injected into you.
Yeah, you just swallow it and then you just know everything.
It's like the Willy Wonka bubble gum that's three meals in one.
Roast beef!
Yeah. Who would want chewy roast beef? Anyway, that is interesting. This is very George Orwell 1985.
This is literally 1985.
There's a book on my shelf, guys. It's called 1985 by George Orwell. Things are becoming pretty Orwellian out here.
That's the sequel to 1984.
Yes, I'm mocking a particular YouTuber. What's that?
What I assume that YouTuber sounds like.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Let's continue. In the year 4545, so we're going 1,000 years ahead at a time.
Oh, boy.
You ain't going to need your teeth, won't need your eyes, you won't find a thing to chew, nobody's going to look at you. Which seems to imply like a mass extinction event.
Yeah, like we're all going to be like little like microbes.
Well,
just
there's
going
to be nothing to eat and no one will look at you because like implying there's going to be no one alive.
Oh, so you're just fucking dead or something.
Yeah. But
what an abstract way of saying death.
But brace yourself.
Uh-oh.
In the year 5555.
Whoa!
Your arms hanging limp at your sides. Your legs got nothing to do. Some machine's doing it for you. Now that feels like that's going to happen way sooner than 5555. That's happening like today. Like machines are taking people's jobs.
I know. We've got non-existent robots, AI doing all that.
AI, yeah. What do you think of that? Because this band, this song came out in the 60s, the late 60s.
It sounds,
why my dad knows it.
Yeah, it sounds kind of novelty-esque, but I just had a quick look up. Like they're like a serious like rock pop duo.
Right.
So it's like...
Do you think they were trying to make legitimate social commentary? Well, I think they definitely
It kind
were.
Of sounds like a dinner theatre mumble.
It sounds like Dr. Zaius the musical, which we're going to talk about later.
In the year 2525.
I love that the summary on Wikipedia. In the year 2525 opens with an introductory verse explaining that if mankind has survived, they will witness the following events. Life becomes increasingly sedentary and automated. Thoughts are pre-programmed into pills for people to consume. All right, let's keep reading the lyrics. In the year 6565.
Oh, no.
You won't need no husband, won't need no wife. Keep in mind, none of this rhymes. You'll pick your son, pick your daughter too, from the bottom of a long glass tube. So I guess they're saying that like in that, like by we're going to get to a point. This is interesting.
Mm.
We're going to get to a point where like, have you seen the movie Gattaca?
Never even heard of it.
Oh, you should watch it. It's a great movie with Jude Law. And in Gattaca, you know, they're at a point in the future where you can sort of choose, you can basically choose the sex of your baby, like the color of their hair, whether they'd be good at sports or good at maths or good at school or good at music. Like you can pick the characteristics of your children. Really interesting movie. Kind of feels like what they're saying with this, like you'll pick your son and daughter from a long glass tube.
Mm.
No more sexy time. In the years, okay, then it just goes in the year 7510.
Oh my God.
What?
They're still going. I had enough song like, you know, a couple thousand decades ago.
If gods are coming, he ought to make it by then. Maybe he'll look around himself and say, guess it's time for the judgment day. And then in the year 9595, I'm kind of wondering if man is going to be alive. He's taken everything this old earth can give. And he ain't put back nothing. Okay, so that's some commentary there. Like people are taking from the earth, taking, mining, taking the earth's precious resources, but we ain't giving anything back. Good for climate change. Mm. We're ruining the world. We're not fixing it.
Yeah, we're doing a lot of giving, a lot of taking, not a lot of giving.
Yeah, the world's doing a lot of giving. Now it's been 10,000 years. Man has cried a billion tears. I'd say we've already cried a billion tears. If there's 7 billion people in the world, we've all definitely cried at least 100.
Mate, I was doing my crying at 4733.
For what he never knew, now man's reign is through. But through eternal night, the twinkling of starlight, so very far away. Maybe it's only yesterday. That was interesting, Dad. Thanks for that.
Tony, you're obsessed with song.
Now, can I... He also sent two more things he wanted us to talk about. We're not really going to talk about them, but the way he wrote them was really funny because he wrote them on WhatsApp. Can you just read verbatim the second two things?
All right. Why is everyone going on an overseas holiday? What the fuck? And why now?
WTF and why now?
That's such a fucking like middle age. Like, well, what the fuck? And I don't know, why, Dad, now?
Because it's the middle of summer and over in Europe. Hey, another thing my dad. So, friend of the show, my cousin Dave.
Oh my god.
My cousin Dave was out, and then my dad's friend Simon saw my cousin Dave, who he knows.
Yeah, right.
And went up to him and took a selfie with Dave. Right. Oh. Simon sent the selfie of him and Dave to my dad. And then my dad sent the selfie to Dave and said, Dave, my friend Simon sent me this. What the fuck? Don't you think that's funny? Like, what the fuck? You saw him or some shit?
I'm crying.
I think like,
I'm crying.
You know, I feel like our generation uses what the fuck if it's like, oh, like, you know, my boss cracked it at everyone today and yelled at everyone and then walked out of the room. You'd be like, what the fuck? Yeah, whereas totally. My dad's like, oh, you're in the picture with Simon. What the fuck? I think it's not that hard to believe that two people you know might have seen each other. Anyway, and what's the second one?
The third one technically.
Third one, yeah.
What's the bug deal about Taylor Swift? Are only young female teenagers the ones that like her?
Female teenagers.
He's really got he's got the pulse on. Yep, teenage females.
Okay. Are we on to ranking stuff?
Ranking. Yep, that's the one.
And I wanna rank you.
Ranking stuff. Ranking stuff today comes in from Patty.
Radio Hacky. And no, it doesn't come from Patty. Mike was just referring to me to read it out.
It comes from Patty. Read it out. Radio Hacky.
Yeah, that's the one. Anyway.
Hacky Sack?
Hacky Sacky, not Hacky Sacky. Radio Hacky says, I think it would be sick if you rank the best musical numbers from early Simpsons episodes.
Mm. Is that all he said?
Literally all that is written here.
Really fun. Really fun. Can't believe I haven't done it before, to be honest. Yeah, and you're true. A Simpsons fan too.
Big, big fans. Well, look, we're Australian. It's in our DNA.
Yeah. Realize the segment's called ranking stuff, but we're not really preparing rankings. We're more just talking about it. Should be called talking stuff.
Talking.
Oh, Tony, you're obsessed with talking about stuff. So I've got a few. So what have I got here? Okay. A few instantly sprung to my mind. The first one was, and like back in the day, like you would learn the lyrics to these songs and sing them at school with your friends and stuff. Mm. It was awesome. First one that I love is We Put the Spring in Springfield.
We're the sauce on your steak. We're the cheese in your cake. We put the spring in Springfield.
We're the lace on the nightgown.
The point after touchdown.
Yes, we put the spring in Springfield.
I love that song. I love that it just combines like all of these songs combine like the goofiness and wackiness of The Simpsons, but it's really well-written show music, don't you reckon?
Yeah, totally.
And that episode is such a great episode. Next one that's actually a lesser known one, but I always found this line from the song that I'm about to play may always used to make me laugh so much, and it's so juvenile, but it's the kids and kids versus adults one. Do you remember that one? Kids. Na, 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 na.
What kids. Season was this?
It was a later season, maybe like 10 or 11, but it's a good song. But this line, it's Bart then Nelson, and what Nelson says always used to make me crack up so much.
Adults, you run our lives like your Colonel Clink.
Adults, you strut around like your farts don't stink.
I don't know why I always found that so funny, but that's a great one as well. Then of course, is there any you want to throw out? Why don't you throw one out? Anything that pops into your mind?
Well, we already talked about this before we started recording and I've already thrown them out, so.
But yeah, say one, because I've got most of them.
There's a certain Kirk Van Houten classic.
Oh, This is probably my favorite Simpsons song of all time.
Can I borrow a feeling? Could you lend me a jar of love? Hurting hearts need some healing. Take my hand with your glove of love.
My favorite episode, talked about it on Four Finger Discount, the Simpsons podcast in Australia. Go listen to my episode. But you know what I like? It's just, it's the perfect level of cringy that Kirk Van Houten would write. Like, don't you reckon it's just so in character? Like everything about it, the production of that song works. It's just such a lame song. He's such a bad singer. Everything about it I love. And I think I heard in the commentary for it, I'm not sure who it was, but in the credits, they were going to actually get a proper singer to sing the full version.
And that would have been so good.
I could be wrong here, but I think it was going to be Sting.
No,
maybe it wasn't Sting. I don't know who it was. It was someone like well-known like that though.
That's so cool.
Of course, who needs that Quickie Mart?
Who needs the Quickie Mart?
Their floors are Sticky Mart.
They made that Sticky Mart. Let's hurl a Bricky Mart.
The Quickie Mart is real dope.
Classic line from Homer.
Absolutely amazing song. And it's like, I love just, you know, Apu singing. You don't get these, maybe you do in New Simpsons, but they're never as good. The writing and you know, like, who needs that Quickie Mart? Such a great song. And it also has that little follow-up where Apu's singing on the roof and who needs that Quickie Mart? I do. Hey, he lied to us through song.
I hate when that happens.
No, it's I hate when people do that. Oh. I hate when people do that. And then probably another favorite, Conan O'Brien wrote this one.
Considered to be the best one.
It's considered to be the best, and it's an amazing episode. Monorail.
And I swear it's Springfield's only choice. Throw up your hands and raise your voice.
Monorail.
What's it called?
Monorail.
Once again.
Monorail. Just love Chief Wiggum. The ring came off my pudding can.
Here, take my penknife, my good man.
Really good. And I remember hearing with this one that Conan O'Brien maybe said he still gets like royalty checks in the mail for this song.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
He actually performed that song live a few years ago.
Was it a Simpsons related event?
No, it was at the Hollywood Bowl.
Was it like the 500th episode or something, or 600th episode?
I don't know, but like at the Hollywood Bowl in California, they got like, you know, Simpsons cast members and adjacent people to come in and perform songs. They had Weird Al do Homer and Marge. Oh, that's another one we should have listed.
Little Diddy.
Homer and Marge.
His heart was as big
as his stomach was large.
Oh yeah, they say life goes on long after the grilled cheese sandwich is gone. Yeah, that's a great one. We had to sing that.
Classic.
What were you saying about? Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, and Conan O'Brien performed it in costume.
They recently did a similar thing with South Park. They did a South Park live, and they performed a lot of the songs like Gay Fish.
Yeah, and even Team America songs. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, no, that was a really cool performance.
We should do South Park. Well, there's so many we want to do. Cartoon Network, South Park. So anyway, moving on. They're so hard to rank because another classic.
Baby on board, how I'm adored. That sign on my car's window pane.
Amazing. And I remember... hardcore Mike fans will remember that on SynFM, the first show I ever did was The Yellow Family, a Simpsons show.
Throwback.
And that was the first episode we did, reviewed.
Didn't you cover that?
And I covered the song.
Yeah, very nice.
This one's not an original, it's a parody, but I still really like it.
Who can take your trash out? Stomp it down for you. Shake the plastic bag and do the twisty thingy too. The garbage man.
Oh, the garbage man can.
Love that. And again, U2's in that.
Yeah.
And also another great Chief Wiggum moment, which is who can clean me up before the big policeman's ball? And he spilt chocolate all over himself.
Yeah.
The garbage man. Great one. Couple more. An amazing parody of the Cheers song, the Flaming Moe's theme.
Let's all go to Flaming Moe's. Where liquor in a mug can warm you like a hug. Happiness is just a flaming moe away. Happiness is just a flaming moe away.
I love how it starts when the weight of the world has got you down and you want to end your life. we mentioned this before, but another classic.
Dr. Seuss, Dr. Seuss. Dr. Seuss, Dr. Seuss. Dr. Seuss, Dr. Seuss. Oh, Dr. Seuss.
Dr. Seuss, Dr. Seuss.
And this one.
Who robs cave fish of their sight?
Who rigged every Oscar night? We do.
And I left this one till last because I think my favourite will always change, but this one I think in particular, in terms of its cultural significance and who wrote it and sung it, and unfortunately, like, it's been tarnished and the episode is no longer on streaming, which I actually think is stupid, but of course, the classic.
Lisa, it's your birthday. God bless you this day. You gave me the gift of a little sister, and I'm proud of you today. Lisa, it's your birthday.
Of course, it's debated whether Michael Jackson is actually singing there. You know that rumor?
Yeah, there is a version online where he's singing, and it sounds like point for point like him. Like,
but there's lots of MJ soundalikes.
Yeah, true.
The Weeknd sounds a lot like Michael Jackson, I think.
Maybe someone should do an AI cover of The Weeknd Your Birthday.
If you listen to the song I Feel It Coming by The Weeknd, it sounds like a Michael Jackson song.
Yeah, someone did like a Michael Jackson AI, and like even the screams in it, like in the Feel It Coming, sound just like Michael. Coming.
Yeah, he's got a great, I really like Michael Jackson's music. Everyone still to this day from like 2 years ago when I called Michael Jackson a pedophile, everyone still attacks me for that. I'm like, I like Michael Jackson's music. I just know he was a pedophile. Like, the two can be true at the same time.
A lot of Michael Jackson apologists.
Yeah. Is that it? Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't like that that's been removed from streaming, by the way. I don't think that. I think it should stay. But anyway, all right. Finishing up, we do have one more segment that we need to do. And remember I said some of these are mic-related and some are? Well, it's time to do this.
Crazy historical fact!
So this one's actually not mic-related.
Oh, boy.
Now, Pat, have you ever heard, and I think this will be just interesting to you, have you ever heard of, can you remind me what it's called? Oh, no, I've got it. All right.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of the 21 grams experiment?
I am not familiar.
This is really interesting. Listen to this. The 21 grams experiment. Okay. But I'm not going to read the article. I'm just going to explain it to you because it's really interesting.
Right.
So basically, this scientist may be in the, okay, it was in 1907. I'm going to fade this music. He thought that he could prove whether a human soul existed. And the way he thought he could prove it is by weighing someone just after they die and seeing if they lose any weight. And he was basically saying that, like, if they lose a certain amount of weight and it's consistent amongst everyone who dies, that's evidence that humans have souls and the soul has left the body upon death.
Right.
So he started doing it to people like who had basically just died. He was a doctor or something, and he would weigh someone just after they died. And he noticed that everyone who died would almost instantly lose 21 grams of their body weight. So then he started this hypothesis that a soul weighs 21 grams, and that is proof that humans have souls and that the souls are leaving their bodies when they die. And, you know, it went around, like, it got picked up. And this is an article from the New York Times, excerpt from 1907. Soul has weight. physician thinks. Dr. McDougall of Haver Hill tells of experiments of death. Lost to body recorded. The human soul has a definite weight which can be determined when it passes from the body, is the belief of Dr. Duncan McDougall, a reputable physician of Haver Hill. Right?
Sorry, can we just say Dr. Duncan McDougall sounds like a made-up name for like a sketch comedy
thing.
It sounds
like a Harry Potter character.
G'day, I'm Duncan McDougall.
No, yeah. Anyway.
Of course, someone named Duncan McDougall would be like, yeah, the body loses the soul.
Yeah. Now, Dr. McDougall,
Sorry, Duncan.
Dr. McDougall's experiment naturally incurred a lot of criticism. So physician Augustus P. Clark criticized the experiment's validity. Clark noted that at the time of death, there is a sudden rise in body temperature as the lungs are no longer cooling blood, causing a subsequent rise in sweating, which could easily account for the missing 21 grams. Clark also pointed out that as dogs do not have sweat glands, because I think he did it with dogs as well, sorry, they would not lose weight in this manner after death. Oh, I'm not sure what that's relevant about. McDougall's experiment has been rejected by the scientific community, and he has been accused of both flawed methods and outright fraud in obtaining his results. Noting that only one of the six patients measured supported the hypothesis, Carl Krasilnicki, Dr. Carl from Triple J,
the Dr. Carl,
yeah, has stated that the experiment is a case of selective reporting, as McDougall ignored the majority of the results. Krasilnicki also criticized the small sample size and questioned how McDougall was able to determine the exact moment when a person had died, considering the technology available at the time. So this doctor has gone like, oh yeah, no, there's soul after that. The soul leaves. Yeah, the soul leaves because there's 21 grams weight loss. Did everyone have that? No, only one of six people had it, but I didn't include that. And then he's like, but yeah, write a newspaper about it, New York Times.
Write a newspaper.
And then Dr. Carl's like, that's stupid and not true. It's interesting though, isn't it?
Yeah, 21 grand, geez. Yeah, because when I heard that, I just thought that's a massive stretch. Like would have had to like select, like, you know, cherry picking results.
Yeah. Anyway, thought that was interesting. Let's finish with this.
The plug.
Sorry.
Ooh, thanks, Pat. You can hear Pat on the Pat and Mike show. There's a huge back catalogue of episodes from like 3 years, you know, over on the Patreon. So jump on. We'll be back soon.
Episodes available for as little as $1, but newer ones for the $4.50 tier.
Yeah. And tomorrow the battery on the camera just died, but that's okay because there's only like 2 minutes left of this pod. Tomorrow TCB World Tour Edition will be up on the podcast feed, so definitely go and listen to what I've been up to because I'm currently just landing in Paris and you will hear about my previous week in Valencia and Mallorca in España. But that is a little bit of the end of the podcast. This is the end of the podcast. Thank you for listening to these bulk episodes. Hope you're enjoying the different style. My name's Radio Mike.
My name has happened to be Producer Pat.
And this is the inside of my mind.
Is mine.
Bye. This podcast was a Radio Mike original production. Head to radiomike.com.au to check out all our other content. Stay up to date at radio.mike on Instagram and get in touch. Radio Mike Pod @gmail.com.